Hey, Mama, we can listen to TNT.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Triggered Not Traumatized. It's your host, JT.
And this is Jalise.
How have you been,
Jalise? I've been good. You know, I love the little stacking of Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year's. Something about that time of year when the holidays hit like that. And then after that, I have birthday and Valentine's Day.
It's nonstop.
It's nonstop. Joy and love and feelings and all of the things.
I think it just give us something to do, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then we're going to get a little gap after Valentine's Day, I think. Valentine's Day to spring break.
I mean, a little bit, but then my people do Mardi Gras.
Oh, Lord.
Into Lent.
Oh, baby, we're going to Mardi Gras, baby.
We're going to Mardi Gras, baby. Come on now.
What day is Mardi Gras?
I really don't know. It's depending on where Easter falls. So, essentially, Easter is so many days
I forgot
before
about
Easter. Lent starts. So you have so many days of Lent, and then Mardi Gras is the week of celebration before Lent.
So it really is no break then until like the summer. Then yeah, the summer, but then you got Juneteenth. It's just so much.
But realistically, like I feel like most people stop coming after Valentine's Day, especially if they don't have no birthdays in January.
I know folks keep their Christmas tree up the whole time up until like spring break.
I'm not gonna lie, I love it.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, I've been fine. Yes. Been, you know, my bikes and seeing trails.
Oh, yes.
It's been nice. It's a little chilly nowadays.
It's
but
so amazing. How are you staying warm? Like,
bro, I've just been saying that I'm gonna enjoy the city I'm in.
Okay.
And biking has really been a way to do that type. You
even
know, like,
in the chilly weather.
Wrap up, layer up. You know what I'm saying? Wear a little scarf.
Okay.
You know, most of your body heat comes out, it's a little early nigga knowledge, but most of your body heat comes out through your ears. So if you wear like headphones or if you wear like earplugs, it'll keep a lot of the heat in. And another thing when you're biking, bike with shades. So the wind is out your eye and you're really good to go.
Wow, that's amazing. That is a great tip because now that you say it, when I'm at the gym and my ears are covered, eventually I'm like, oh, snap. The
I'm hot as fuck.
I peel off his
head. Like, fuck that shit. And you can tell they moist as hell. You're like, damn. But hell yeah, let's jump into our first seggy.
Yeah,
which
let's
is
go.
Target practice.
Target.
Yeah.
Not
so
the bad guy.
You have reached the voicemail box of
Triggered Not Traumatized.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
Come on now, what we got for this week, what you got?
Okay, so this week I bring to you all someone else's work, but something that definitely poured into the type of person that I am, the growth trajectory that I've had. Yeah, but what today I'm going to present to you all is Lady in Green from Fur Color Girls Who Have Considered Suicide and the Rainbow Is Enough.
We love Notozaki Shange.
Oh, and we're going to break her down in a second too.
Mm.
Somebody almost walked off with all of my stuff. Not my poems or dance I gave up in the street, but somebody almost walked off with all of my stuff. Like a kleptomaniac working hard and forgetting while stealing that this is mine. This ain't your stuff. Now why don't you put me back and let me hang out in my own self? Honest to God, somebody almost walked off with all of my stuff. And didn't care enough to send a note home saying I was late for my own solo conversation or two sizes too small for my own tacky skirts. What can anybody do with something of no value on an open market? Did you get a dime for my things? Hey man, where are you going with all of my stuff? This is a woman's trip and I need my stuff to ooh and all about. Daddy, I got a mainline on my own airline. Now won't you put me back? And let me play this duet with this silver ring in my nose. Somebody almost ran off with all of my stuff. And I didn't bring anything but the kick and sway of it. The perfect ass for my man, and none of it is theirs. This is mine. Jeanette's her own things. That's my name. Now you give me back my stuff. I see you hiding my laugh. and how I sit sometimes with my legs open to give my crotch some sunlight. There goes my love. My toes. My chewed up fingernails. Nigga, with the curls in your hair. Mr. Louisiana Hot Link, I want my stuff back. My rhythms and my voice. Open my mouth and let me talk to you. Let me talk you out of throwing my things in the sewer. This is some delectable leg and some whimsical kiss I gotta have to give to my choice without you running off with all of my stuff. Now who is this he left me with? Some simple bitch with a bad attitude. I want my things. I want my arms with the hot iron scars and my legs with the flea bites. I want my calloused feet and my quick language back in my mouth. Fried plantains, pineapple and pear juice and Sun Ra and Joseph and Jules. I want my own things, how I live them. And give me my memories, how I was when I was there. You can't have them or do nothing with them. Stealing my stuff don't make it yours. It makes it stolen. Somebody almost ran off with all of my stuff. And I was standing there looking at myself the whole time. It wasn't a spirit took my stuff, Luann. It was a man whose ego walked around like Rudan's shadow. A man faster than my innocence. A lover I made too much room for, almost walked off with all of my stuff. And I didn't have anything. I didn't give up too quick, and the one running with it don't even know he got it. I'm shouting, this is mine, and he don't know he got it. My stuff is the anonymous ripped off treasure of the year. Did you know somebody almost got away with me? In a plastic bag under their arm, me dangling on a string of personal carelessness. I'm splattered with mud and city rain, and no, I didn't get a chance to take a douche. Hey man, this is your prerogative. I got to have me in my pocket to get around like a good woman should, to make the poem in the pot or the chicken in the dance. What I got to have, I got to have my stuff to do it. So why don't you mind finding your own things? Leave this package of me for my destiny. What you got to get from me, I'll give it to you. Yeah, I'll give it to you. Around 5 o'clock in the winter, when the sky is blue and red and Dew City is getting pressed, if it's really my stuff, you gotta give it to me. If you really want it, I'm the only one who can handle it. Somebody almost walked off with all of my stuff. Not my poems and things that I gave up in the streets. Poem. Yeah. Yeah, and that's like a little snippet from the play itself. But I remember reading this as a child, and
a child. Okay.
I wasn't grown. I had him like 15, my first time performing this.
Oh, okay. I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so like 15, I didn't realize what it meant to like lose the different parts of you. And as the poem is progressing, she's not talking about anything but like the hot iron scars on her arm and like the scrape on her knee or the busted lip from when her cousin closed her lip in the door. And of course, like, those are my experiences, but I'm thinking about these things that makes a woman who they are. And as this week's topic is passion, passionate and passing.
Yeah.
Passionate and passing. I think we sometimes forget what we lose in certain interactions and what we gain. Like, I don't think that this character would have had a deep understanding of who she was if she not passed this stranger that just took it so carelessly.
So that means a lot to me. And I really enjoy going back and reading this piece because I'm like, wow, like the thing is, there are some things that I would give to you. And I wouldn't mind giving them to you. But you can't just be up in this space and take the little things in me that I'm not even ready to give out yet. Mm. And I talked to you about being controlled and all of these things that I'm trying to loosen control over. But I have a really big thing of like, I will give you the shirt off my back. But you have to give me the choice to give you the shirt off my back.
Mm. Can't if just not, take my shirt
like
off.
I'm like, who are you? I don't even know you. You become a stranger to me. You know?
That's what made you pick this for Passion and Passing?
What made me pick this was like I was thinking about what we would write for this week, and initially the idea was these strangers that pass each other at a gas station, and then it wasn't speaking truth to my life circumstances.
Okay.
Right now my life circumstances is I'm dating on and off and this and the third, and there was one particular experience where like I'm getting to know somebody who in most lifetimes would be considered a stranger, and it's like I'm realizing that wow, like this reminded me of something I recited but didn't understand. And I think that that's what For Colored Girls was, because like I'm like, why do I feel like we're cool, but why do I somewhat feel transgressed against? And it's because you choosing agency to pass a stranger and say hello or I like your shoes is something you choose to give or not, but that's a little bit of your life that you get to share. Or you can decide to just you can decide to be selfish with that and hold on to your passions, and now I don't get to show you the light of myself, but also I get to hold the light that I have in a different way. So I don't know, and that's what incited in me. Maybe I was thinking a lot into it after I couldn't get my comedic gas station scene out.
No, it's good.
I definitely like this. Like, I didn't even know. Like, I let somebody into my room, into my bed, and now they're gone and they left with something. And I don't know how to contact them. I don't know how to, even if they gave me the thing that they took back, if I would know how to properly use it. And I think that this beautiful piece of work that Ntozake wrote, like,
yeah, when I've seen this piece a few times. I've seen y'all do it, and my undergrad did it as well. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece, and I love that she's Lady in Green as well. Like just what that symbolism. But when I heard the piece, I saw her being changed by the experience she had, the encounter she had with the stranger, and her being like, "I want to be who I was before I met you. I want to be the." I want to have my things back before I got so caught up into this thing, because this ain't even really me. And I would have get, you know what I'm saying? I would have really showed you, but you've pulled out something that I never even intended to be.
Yeah.
And so I've definitely felt that too. Just being like, you didn't have to bother me. I was fine. You know what I'm saying? I was fine. And now I got to move forward. And I never thought this is where I would be. This is the headspace I'd be in. This is the life that I'm going to be in. Because, you know, a lot of times when you are encountering somebody, you don't necessarily know how it's going to go. But when you commit to it, you don't care where, you know what I'm saying? You're committing to it. And when the other person is not as committed to it, you feel like, well, damn, I could have just been doing something else. I could have been fine.
On my own.
Yeah, I didn't need you at all.
And the part where she says, and I didn't even get to take a douche. I mean, I didn't even get to clean myself up before you back a whole nother stranger taking something from me.
And not to try to walk off.
You tried to
excuse me.
Excuse me?
Stop it.
You can't do nothing with it. So why you taking it?
Yeah.
And I would use it differently. But you know, like, some people are there to enlighten that in yourself. And some people are there to, like, give a little bit. But outside, like, I feel like Lady in Green walked away from this moment. Like, you know what? I ain't never told nobody. I always give to people. I always, it's an open market. You can have it. You can have these portions of me. But today, I'm saying, no, I'm reclaiming. And no, you can't come over here.
After I get finished with situations and experiences... I like to do like what I call a ritual of calling my energy back home.
Oh yes.
And I think that's something like what she's saying is like all her energy returned back to her. You know what I'm saying? All the love. I like to live in abundance as well. You mm-hmm. know, and to say that love is always pouring out. But I think that's a good thing to do to call it back home and come back to self.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, 10 out of 10, but good pick. I love Notozaki Shange.
Yes.
You know she also wrote Ruined.
Wait, what? I was seeing so many other things that she wrote, but I didn't even know.
I think she wrote Ruined as well. Let me make sure.
No, that's Lynn Nottage you wrote.
That might be Lynn Nottage. Let me see. Into Zaki.
Yeah, Ruin is Lynn Nottage, but the womanhood aspect, taking us to the Congo opposed to in Shreveport, Louisiana, like I feel the similar sensations from both pieces. But Ruin was like a whole nother war angle on how they were using women to spite men. Whereas for Color Girls, a little bit was how women found their stories in spite of men. Like,
We're going to have to hop in. We're going to have to do a deep dive on Ruin too one of these days.
Yeah, we are.
That might be our next, the next one. But anyways, y'all. Yeah. Good job. So, when it comes to passion and passing, I came with a little different kind of spin on.
Okay.
You ever like go out with no expectations? You're just going out to have a good time.
Yeah.
And you end up running into somebody with just good ass vibes. Ooh. Just good vibes. And
I like that.
Y'all don't even exchange no information or nothing. You just have the interaction. Y'all go about y'all lives. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what I wrote about this week. About passionate in passing. I'm just here for the vibes tonight. I'm not lying. I'm on good timing tonight. Two-step to the music, just smiling and cruising by the neon lights. I don't want any trouble. Most times, I'm the trouble. But my bubble's bursting, I burn through the lessons. Staying strong for the blessings, and I won't lose tonight. All right. That's my mindset. And my mind is set on leaving alone. No IG exchange, no aura to maintain. I'm looking forward to rubbing my feet together at home. I'm just here for the vibes. I might do a little boom, cack. I two-step in the back, and the room is made for the energy. Black people love a good circle, a little eye contact. And it looks like she sing this song to me. But to me? I'm on vibes tonight. No Fox 5 tonight. But I like this song truthfully. This, that, how you gonna ride for me? Hold me down, baby. Listen, never lie to me. This is all the sound I need. Anyways, how we get to talking with the music so loud? It's a familiar tone, something similar. So maybe it's the whole crowd. So we read lips, touch hands. You know, would you like a drink? A damn good time was had, but it's over before you blink. You can tell our childhood selves would get along well as the seashore swells and she sells her shells at the sea. We yell at what we see. The sun, the rays, the waves, what feeds the will, the need. On our knees we pray. We say, amen. It was something spiritual. And then I walked her out and I never saw her again. On vibes tonight. Passionate and passing. Yeah. You know, you see somebody one time, it ain't gotta be no pressure. It's always good when there's no pressure like that, no expectation.
Yeah, like I've had those fever dream moments in a club where I don't know who this is. Hoppo, I wouldn't even I'm sorry to this man.
You like what's on it? It don't even matter what's on the name is actually. You we good for
us. Shots. We didn't listen and sang our hearts out. I love that. I'm not gonna lie, the party that we went to the other day, like with the DJ that you knew or whatever, yeah. It was a girl there. I love dancing with her. Like we hyped each other up at different moments.
Yeah.
And like she was cute. I knew I was looking cute, but it was never even that. It was just like, this shit hella cool.
And it don't have to be that it all don't. The time. It can be that though. Mm-hmm. It can be that. But sometimes I've had an interaction like this with an old white lady in fucking Forsyth, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
At the red light. She's like, damn, good to meet you. And I was like, you know what?
Damn you, good to meet you too.
You
show.
Right. You cool. For, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like when the world feels like that, when it's pleasant in interactions.
Goodness. I'm not going to lie. There was this guy that I met one time at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
No, not at the gas station. We were at the liquor store.
This is a good
place. We were
at
the liquor store, and he was grabbing something. I was grabbing something. I had just got my hair done. I was looking cute, but the clothes wasn't looking cute, but the hair was looking good.
That's all you need right now.
That's all you really need. The face was looking clear. And we really, truly vibed, like a true vibe. And he asked me for my number. I gave it to him.
Yeah.
And when I gave him my number, I didn't call myself. I didn't text myself or nothing. I just put it in there, passed him the phone, and we continued talking. Like, and I had a feeling that he gonna call me and he gonna message me or something. And then he started talking about something in his workplace, so he showed it to me on his phone. I looked at it for a while. We started talking some more. Good interaction. We left. He's like, I'm gonna call you. I'm like, I look forward to it.
Right.
We'll get drinks. It never happened. He never called me. We never talked again.
That so nigga my, had a family.
No,
I just laughed. Like,
no, see, my brother. I just talking shit. My brother went to like, maybe he locked the phone. Maybe when he went to the other app, like, the number didn't save in the thing because I didn't call myself. I didn't save the number. I just typed it in.
Yeah.
And then I went about talking and stuff like that. So I was like, damn, like, I guess I'll see you next lifetime.
Right. It'd be like that.
No, because he was hella cool. It'd be like that. I was like, and I'd never be on that side of town, so the likelihood of us ever, like...
run into each other again. But that's how you know, if y'all do run into each other again, it's up.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I used to move like that. Like, I didn't talk to nobody unless I saw them twice in a while.
Wow.
Because that mean that I need to talk to them. That mean that our universes done came together twice.
Because you had to see them twice?
Think about the chances of you seeing somebody twice. In a city like Atlanta, where you can throw a rock and run into somebody... you might as well be selective with who you choose to come in contact okay. with.
Beverly give but, the Lord the power.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But I want to say it was super successful. It was just chance.
Okay.
But yeah, that's passionate passing.
Have you ever met a stranger that you did, like, you didn't pass, you...
like, you know? Acted on it?
Yeah, not like when you're familiar in a space. Like, it's different when it's a person at work every day or, like... but I'm saying, like, maybe somebody you met at a club or... on the street and y'all actually became friends?
Like friends? Yeah. That's happened before.
Okay.
Like, oh, you cool as hell. Like, let's exchange. You can work together, whatever, like that. Like, that's happened before too, but sometimes that can just change the speed of things and, like, add to an interaction mm-hmm. versus to where it's very organic and you like, oh, shit, we might as well. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's different from that... versus entering the interaction like, oh, we're going to exchange information by the end of this.
Okay.
I like that. Just the liberating thing about us by chance talking and it by chance being a good interaction.
Okay.
I'm getting used to, now. A thing that I do now is if I didn't have a good interaction, I say it out loud. I'll be like, I didn't enjoy this.
Oh, wow. Why would you say this?
Because some people are clueless. They think that they're a good time. They're not. So, like, if it's a good time, I'll be like, oh, dang, this was a really good time.
Oh, my
goodness. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do this again. Like,
you're giving this staples so good right now.
I thought this wasn't enjoyable. But it's just enlightened, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. I mean.
Anyways, y'all, that was our target practice. I hope y'all enjoy our conversations. Yeah. That was passion and passing. So, yeah. I guess, you know, the whole show be relating on the subject. So, like, mm-hmm. what you got for nigga knowledge? I'm going to nigga knowledge.
Nigga knowledge.
Nick.
Fuck all you hoes. Back in, I'm better. If you knew better, baby, you do better. And if you don't know, now you know. Pick up.
So, I just wanted to educate the people. I should have looked up this other portion, but I was then... ended up doing a deep dive on Intozaki, and I just wanted to share some of the things that I found about this beautiful black woman. So first, I love the idea of reinventing yourself. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. My pastor preached this message about, I think it was about syncretism, And syncretism meaning you take some of the world's ways and apply it to your life, and it doesn't actually align with the word of God. And he says that this is a tricky line because you never really know what isn't aligning with the word unless you study it. I said all that to say is he has this perception that it's okay to understand zodiac signs, but if you believe that that's the only identity you have and you don't really understand the fact that God changed people's identity several times and called them by different names because it's okay to transform, you're not confined in this particular thing. That came up for me. So Ntozake's original name was Paulette L. Williams, and she was born in Trenton, New Jersey, which was so interesting to me because I'm like, girl, how are you writing about the bayou right now? But she changed her name to Ntozake, which means she comes from her, she comes with her own things. Mm. She comes with her own things. She's nothing you've ever experienced. It's something of her own. And I love that. I think it pulls directly to how she identified with Lady in Green. And I thought it was super, super cool. The Shange part means she who walks like a lion, symbolizing power and resilience. I think that even that is a beautiful nod to a lot of different things. She got her master's and bachelor's in African American studies, so there was a great emphasis on changing her name from Paulette Williams to Ntozake Shange. And I think it was an interesting transformation because you can come in this world identified as one thing, but you also have the agency to choose who you are. Mm. And I think that that's beautiful when the with the reclaiming of names, the shifting of names, but also like saying, hey, like this is my identity today, but I can change tomorrow.
Right.
And being able to, I guess, gather those things about yourself and move forward, which I loved in hearing her. Another little nigga knowledge about the artist is that she created a genre that people didn't have before called choreo poems. This is when you incorporate poetry, music, dance, and drama into one piece. Mm. Which I'm like, wow, like that's what I do.
That's
like,
what you do.
That's what I do. I like the movement of the poetry. It's not just the words that stand in itself. The whole action of the body, the action of the space, the moving of a story, the drama that's accompanied with it all. It's something that I really, really love. So when it came to creating a choreo poem, I think as writers we can come from any space. Maybe you listen to a song and now you're writing a poem, or maybe you moved in a particular way and this movement symbolizing yourself being apart from yourself, so then you write something about that. I think that music, poetry, dance, and drama are all seedlings to performance. So if I can educate the people on anything, go listen to some music, go move your body. Those things can help you write a beautiful piece called For Color Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Isn't Enough.
That was a good one. That was a good set right there, especially with the knowledge, because we got to celebrate and give our flowers to our profound and prolific writers, especially like coming up with a choreo poem, man. The stories of those different colors, those colored women. You know, there's another play, like it's like flipped, like For Color Boys or something like that. I think it's LGBTQ. Oh,
I want to flip For Color Girls, personally. I want to flip it. I can see myself flipping it. I think if I were to flip it, I think I just accidentally said it as well. It would be For Color Girls Who Consider Suicide When the Rainbow Isn't Enough. And I think that it's to help acknowledge that like our blackness is beautiful. And the colors that come with us are really beautiful. But what happens when you're the only color in the sea of white? Mm-hmm. Or in the sea of darkness, like, you're the only light. Like, I think that it's an interesting conversation when, like, hey, I actually just met a black girl, and we don't see eye to eye. Mm. And we keep fussing.
Which is a lot of how it goes.
Yeah, so, like, there is so much room for the rainbow to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are some spaces in between where we don't see eye to eye, and how do we reconcile with that as well?
Even when the thing about Lady in Green and what she was saying about walking off around my stuff, when it ties back into the title, she's considered suicide from her stuff being taken from her.
Mm-hmm.
She considered taking her own life. Like, that's, yeah. People never get that far of that conversation and talking about, wait, like, let's connect. Like, let's connect. She considered it.
Yeah. Just and excellent writing. And then you go to Lady in Blue, who's considerate at her abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
Lady in Red when she's losing her kids. Lady in Brown when the last time she was loved was when she was a little girl. And that was because she found love in a book in a different way than everybody else.
Saint
Loverture. Like, there's all of these things of, like, where you found it at. And it's like, y'all don't understand. I want to kill the artist in me some days.
You know, this gives me a lot of ideas about wild dreams as well. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, deep diving is like, what? Because we can't just throw up stuff, throw up work without knowing, like, and being proper educated about the work. But, hell yeah. Hell yeah. When it comes to passion and passing with nigga knowledge, I wanted to give people, like, good places where I think they can meet others.
Okay.
And I feel like some good places where you can meet people, because there are some faux pas that you don't really do, that people still break, but, like, there's places where you certainly don't meet people at, and there's places where you do. I've heard the gym is not a good place to meet people.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because most people are, like, want to pay attention to their workout. They're not, like, in their best, like, selves. They're, like, you know, so I understand that. Like, unless somebody is choosing to be social in the gym or, like, looking. Because most of the time, if you're paying attention to what you're doing, you're not really making eye contact. But if you keep looking up at somebody, I think then they could maybe do it. But overall, though, I wouldn't think it's right to go to the gym expecting to meet people.
I definitely don't think that that's the environment to meet people. Yeah. But I've connected with people at the gym in friendship ways and in romantic ways.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and it was a slow burn, truthfully, for one of them. But also because you're at the gym, it just feels like the seed is lustful.
You're like, oh, you like, just like what you see.
You just like what you see. Because it was first.
But what if they like your drive that you go there consistently?
True. It was one of my homegirls. I met her in the gym one time. We were in the locker room. She was crying.
Okay.
And I was like, can I pray for you real quick? And she was like, yeah. And we prayed together. She never told me what was wrong. But the next time we was in the gym, she's like, hey, girl. And I was like, hey, girl. Like, what's going on? She's like, nothing. You want to work out one day?
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, I can work out. And now when I tell you that, bitch is ripped. Like,
she's fine.
Let me tell you, when I met her and... It's no Tino Shea. It just goes to show you, like, what people are working towards. When I met her, she had to have been, like, 225.
Oof. How
tall?
How tall?
How tall? Maybe a little taller than me.
Okay, that's not bad.
She was roughly, like, 225. Now, she gotta be, like, 150 straight muscle, like... Not straight muscle, but like strong legs, defined arms, not no big shoulders, just really nice. But that's a whole nother thing of like passions, because we just met each other.
These niggas, man, let me look at the clock. 37. What time? No pause it yet. Actually, you can pause it. 3, 2, 1, pause.
And we back. But all I was saying was the fact that she was going through something. We connected in a brief moment and we became friends out of it. Like, we follow each other on Instagram now, all the things. But I will say, at the gym, there was a guy that I met. And we just kept seeing each other at the gym every time I went. And then eventually he was like, can I get you a post-workout meal? And I was like, you can buy me something. You can't cook me nothing. And it was cool, but I really felt like that you know, standing was strictly on site. And another nigga knowledge fact that I have is that it said that 66-70% of marriages stem from a friendship or a familial relationship. The other percentages are from passing strangers or dating apps or whatever.
So it's not like a high chance of marrying somebody you just met.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful story, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's a beautiful story, But maybe you need something other than, like, happenstance to ground you all.
I was speaking of passion and passing. I feel like a lot of memorable interactions have come from strangers, though. Like one time, I was in church, and I think to this day, this lady was an angel. I don't think she was a real person, but it was a lady in church. I was like a kid. I was finna go to high school, and she was like, "You need to go to that school, and you need to audition for their program." She didn't know what school I was trying to get into. She didn't know what I wanted to do, but we wasn't even talking that. Like, I don't know how she knew this shit. It told me to do this, but I swear she told me. I did not know this lady. She told me, and I never saw her again.
That gave you chills, though.
I never saw her again. McPhee type shit. It was weird. I was like, "What?" Oh, she's like, "You need to go to that school, and you need to audition for that program." I didn't even know the school had a program. It was crazy, but that was a stranger. So you know, I know it's dangerous things out there, but I do have my heart open to like still have an interaction. But you know, with the guard, of course. But back to like what people should meet. I think out at like the Beltline is probably, you know, a nice place to meet somebody. Even though I hear what you're saying about even if you meet somebody, it's not a chance that you're going to fall in love. Like, ain't nobody saying fall in love. We're just saying build community. But definitely social clubs like yoga studios and run clubs. People are always looking for interaction in those too. But I think you can also get friends like that way too. I think Controllerize is definitely a place where you can find friends. Yeah. And that's an event that happens on Howard Mill. But other than that,
I actually had some events that I tagged as well. I just thought they would be a little bit more entrenched talk because I want to talk about them some more. But one of the events that I went to recently is the Potions and Poets. Mm-hmm. And they had an event on a rooftop at the Hilton by Lenox. And it was so beautiful. It was this Christmas brown sugar jazz band that was playing. You got 3 free drinks with your ticket.
How much a ticket was?
You know, I ain't paying for that ticket.
How much was it, though, just for the whole closing out?
I don't know. Go. I don't know. You don't
know? What range you think it could have been?
Let me see. Let me try and find it. But I don't know. A guy took me there, so...
Just so people know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I still can't find the price.
Well, you just find it. You'll find it.
Yeah, we'll tell you. I see their event, but also it's called the Mingle Experience. So the whole goal is for you to interact with people. And it's not hookah lounges and lemon pepper wings, though we love it, you know. It's just a really good, classy event to meet someone, talk with people. Really cool.
Let's see. I don't think I have anything really else for nigga knowledge besides like those other places to go for the trails. Like there's Dollwood Trail. It was cool. It wasn't too long. I'm gonna try Silver's Comet and I'll let y'all know how that goes.
Okay.
We had the Chattahoochee. I think he started at Chattanooga Park or something like that. Chattanooga Trailhead or something. It's like near Atlanta, but that's a good trail too. But hey, get outdoors and enjoy life.
Go to events.
But you got anything else for nigga?
I just have 2 more things. One of my things is that go out to the events. I just recently acquired a new opportunity just on the strength of going to an open mic a few times, and then I got hired to do a different job. So now that I've passed a few strangers enough times, they're actually asking of me. So I'm happy about that. And another thing is, I was talking to my homegirl earlier today, and I had just woke up. And she was pretty upset about things. And I think she identifies me as an extreme optimist sometimes. Like everything ain't happy. Like my day was fucking horrible. And I tell her, you know, it's crazy that the enemy knew that the only thing he needed to piss you off was 11 Coca-Colas and a milkshake. And it's crazy that you decided to give that thing that much power over you. And at first she wasn't really understanding me, but I think that we came to a realization that you decide to give power to certain entities. Don't allow things to knock you off your post. Did you have a bad day? Or did you have a bad 15 minutes? And even if you did have a bad day, was there anything positive worth focusing on? Because either you're going to pray about it or you're going to appreciate the blessing. And I think you can choose either one, but don't be too hard upon yourself and on the small experiences, the passing experiences that are just fleeting anyway. Take the meat, leave the bones. And that's my nigga knowledge for today.
Okay, good. Take the meat, leave the bones. Mm-hmm. All right, I was going to try our last segment, which is trench talk.
You know we got that trench talk, that trench talk.
The trench. You know we talk that trench talk. Trench talk. Alright, what you're saying you had something for Trench, but you said in Nigga Knowledge, which was...
Well, that was the Silent Night performance. I'm just saying, I went there the other day, and it was really cool. Like, that's just something that was happening around the city.
Oh, okay.
But they do it so often, so you should go and check it out. But I will say, I don't know, like, I was loving that. I was loving being in the streets that day. It was sponsored by Villa Ray, which is the champagne company for Issa Rae, and like... They had three different drinks centering that beverage, and I had a good time. Like, I was a little tipsy. I saw some good performers, met some pretty musicians. It was dope.
Okay, bet. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about Nicki Minaj performing and going to that Republican. What is it? What is it called? A TC? What is it called? TCU?
It's called a monkey show.
TCU, the thing Charlie Kirk was in. Let me look it up just so I know what the name of it is.
That's crazy, though. And then she slipped and said that when your husband was...
Turning Point USA is the name of it.
Okay,
yep, that's what she did. And she did slip up and said that he was... What she said?
That J.D. Vance assassinated...
Charlie Kirk. My students be singing. They be like, "We are Charlie Kirk. We carry the flame." It's a TikTok sound.
Oh my God.
They just make fun of it, but Nicki Minaj joining Erica Kirk on there.
That is crazy. It's and tough. Like, it's okay. Like, no, like I've heard it all.
It's interesting being that somebody brought up that she's a voice on Steven Universe. She's the literal crystal gem, and she was up there on that stage. Really being insulting to her very fans, her trans fans, her different friends, her black fans. It was just, I thought that was very interesting. I'm interested to hear, or just to see their reaction to seeing her on that.
And how this turns out, my thing is, Nicki Minaj had so much potential when it came to certain things. And she completely, her entire base is depleting by the moment because of what she's choosing to support. And it's so crazy because I'm trying to figure out if it's a mental issue. Is it where she's always been? Like, was she always problematic? You know, Wayne is not...
Was she always problematic? She's been problematic for a while.
But I'm saying, like, she was always able to stand up for the girls. And she was always standing up for, like, how powerful women can be and how you can choose your identity. But, like, even being underneath Wayne for... whatever time she was underneath Wayne and learning his ideals and his ideology, like, at what point was this the turning point? Because you're a girl from New York, like, you've seen it all, you've experienced it all. You being a Republican and saying certain things is so far off the bingo card, it doesn't make any sense. So at what point did you get so removed from reality that you can support so many different problematic areas?
People say she's taking the Kanye West route, like, she's going down that path of, like, how he did. So, like, ideology-wise. But also, people are saying that her husband, you know, is a pedophile.
Right.
He's registered.
Right.
And her brother is, too. And so, she gotta get pardons for them. So, because, you know, if you're a pedophile, you can't do certain things. Like, you can't go certain places.
So, her goal is to give these people in her life pardons.
I mean, people are trying to find out why would she, what reason would there be to stand on the Republican side or... the Turning Point USA and, like, to go there and, you know, to spout that rhetoric. People trying to figure out what reason could there be. And it's either somebody got something on her and she might be going to jail herself, which I could see. or she trying to get one of them guys that she, her brother, her husband, a pardon from Trump.
But you ever meet those people that intentionally just want to be on the opposite side of whatever? Everybody,
yeah, they're called contrarians.
Contrarians. I was trying to think of that word. But, like, sometimes I just feel like she want to be the opposite to make it seem like she's so enlightened. Like, like, that's... And it's so crazy because I used to be such a... Like...
People who do that are usually not the brightest. There's never a smart person that's always trying to contrary or have a rebuttal for everything. They're usually the dumbest person in the room.
But when I tell you, I used to listen to this girl. I'm talking about mixtapes. I'm talking about stuff that ain't never been released. Watching her theater videos and stuff like that. Nicki Minaj really used to be that girl for me. And like, different people have different fall-offs for her. But something to me that seemed like pinnacle for her to me was Pills and Potions. After Pills and Potions, of course she had Barbie Dreams and all of these other albums and such. And they were good, but like, Pills and Potions was like black hair Nicki, refined and get her what nobody said about her. She was dating who she wanted to date. She spoke very highly of herself. She was intelligent. And then it just seemed like things went to the left after that.
And also how she interacts with the other rap girls. I don't know if that's always the... It's just showing, you know what I'm saying? Like it says, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. She kind of got a lot of problems with a lot of the girls, or like a lot of rap girls.
The one girl that was on your team, Ice Spice, her career didn't do well underneath your regime, and she decided to switch up. So now I can't even, like, I'm judging you off the fruit you bear, and your fruit is leaving you. And you want to know what's crazy? I think, even though Kanye West was a little bit off his rocker, I just think it was the difference between the artists brought up underneath Roc Nation and the artists brought up underneath Cash Money Records. And personally, like,
it's an ideology. It's filled with toxic masculinity, that Cash Money shit. It's filled with toxic. And it's some weird shit going on too, like with Birdman kissing niggas on the lips and all of that.
Oh, I was gonna ask you about something like that.
You know what I'm saying? It's some toxic shit going on, man. I think that really stems from a lot of that stuff.
Another thing in the trenches, which is a crazy segue right now, but I seen this controversial post where this guy was cuddling with his 16-year-old son. And you just mentioned Birdman kissing people. What do you think about that? Like, do you think there's an age for like male-to-male compassion, or...
I think we gotta understand that we are, you know what I'm saying, grown at a certain age. Like, even in the wild, like, the boys get kicked out of the, you know what I'm saying, kicked out of Pride, or kicked out of the pack to go and start their own. But if I'm, like, what is it called? Like, if I'm making you an infant, infantilizing you, at a age where you should be claiming your own, I think it might be on me that I am messing up your path, because I'm not properly preparing you to be able to be a man on your own, because that I am making you be a baby for so long. So like, that kind of intimacy, I don't think a young man should crave at that certain point. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think there's nothing wrong with showing affection from man to man. Like, they can hug each other and there's nothing wrong with it. They can, you know what I'm saying, embrace and, you know, and the handshake.
But
and
taking baths together has to stop.
Yeah, what are we doing? Like, you're wilding. Or laying in the bed together, like.
Snuggling and stuff.
Y'all tripping, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are we really trying to, because even then, you're blurring the lines for them outside the world. Because then they're thinking this is okay for another, you know what I'm saying?
For when it's not adult male to snuggle exactly. another adult male, and they're not implications of that. And exactly. I love how you point out that this is emphasizing them opposed to anything homophobic, because I think the natural reaction is like,
that's some crazy. But no, that's not what I'm saying.
But it's not that. It's the fact that, like, in a world where you're supposed to be prepared for certain evolutions, you're not prepared for that, because you think that how we hug and how we cuddle to one another shows compassion. But some men feel compassion and respect when you respect their physical boundaries.
Like, and some men think that's a move, or think that now you're being owned because now y'all get to be so intimate in a bed area. You know what I'm saying? So it's not preparing you to stand on your own. It's preparing you to be up under somebody else. Like when a boy's little, you pick him up, you throw him in the air, you throw him over your shoulder. You don't do that to a young man. You don't pick him up no more. Right. Like, it's even wilder for a grown man to pick somebody up. Like, I'm a grown man. You gonna pick me up off the ground? You know what I'm saying? Like,
what
and that's the environment that you want to prepare them for, so they can be independent. But without the toxic masculinity and homophobia, Just that's all nice. Respect and moderation and love.
Do you think that you can emphasize? What's the rhetoric actually?
Infantilize.
Like? Infantilize when you make someone an infant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you can infantilize someone in a relationship?
I think women sometimes crave to be infantilized. Like they want to be picked up. They want to be called baby. They want to be kissed on their forehead. They want to be cared for like that.
Are you some
of
daddy?
Legit, some of them do have a little daddy issues going on, like, and that's okay too. But I think that in the realms of what you do with your partner is up to y'all, because I don't kink shame, and you know some niggas got mommy issues and that it go the other way around too. Because that's why niggas like being the little spoon sometimes when they be with the girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, and also, I don't count it in a romantic sense, because between two consenting adults, I feel like y'all already are going into an intimate world. Okay. So, like, between y'all, what's consented, there's nothing that's off limits type shit.
Okay, do you think that Mariah the Scientist infantilizes herself to thug?
I don't know enough of their relationship to too much comment on it. What I will say is, I don't want to know nobody's relationship that deeply to be like, you know what? They don't work, or they work well because of this. Unless I'm like, they asking for advice or some shit like that, which I don't have the degrees to even give, you know what I'm saying? But when I did see the proposal, I, from my perspective, don't feel like, one, the marriage is going to last long. And two, that it's gone. It was both equal want for both of them with the same pure intentions. Because I think that first, the nigga was just talking on the phone about like the CO give it up, get a box quicker than the FedEx work. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's not somebody that you.
And she love him too much. And
you know what I'm saying? That's not gonna work like that when you talking about somebody you want to join and be one with, and then y'all also on this pedestal and this level to where it look better with y'all being together anyway. So I think it's a lot of different forces probably, you know, that went with that decision. But who am I to, like, I don't know these people even exist at all. You know what I'm saying?
I just think that when you said the comment of, and I want to hold on to this word, in infantilizing someone,
something like that.
When you make someone a child again, it stunts their growth. I feel like, in a way, Mariah's growth is being stunted underneath this current regime of the relationship. Again, I don't really know who she is, but outside the image that is bared now, because you've done things that kind of take away the womanhood of what you're becoming or what have you, because you, I guess in the analogy, allowed your 16-year-old son to cuddle with his father. I think that you created a baby within yourself, and it stifled her growth in the eyes of her viewers.
But women do like being infantilized, though.
But not played out. Like, there, I think there's a difference between I'm your precious thing, or I'm your baby, and I'm your child. I feel like me being your baby means you care for me in a particular way. Me being your child means I am going to be the product of your consequences, your decisions, and your choices without a real, like, desire of my opinion. And I feel like there's a difference between, like, even if your kink is a parenting style, like, you want somebody to be, oh, that's my daddy right there, that's my daddy. There's a difference between a man being your daddy, like, he take care of you, he open your doors, he makes sure you up on time, versus the person that make you go places, put you gotta be in bed and in the house at a certain time. Like, I think that that's just a difference, even in the kink. Like,
but even then, what you just said, wasn't too off from each other.
I know, that's why I wanted to pose them as very similar things, but I think there's a difference between, here, baby, get in the car, and like, get in the car, baby. Like, I just think that even though they're similar in how the words, there's a difference in how they're presented. There's a difference between, sweetie, will you marry me? And, well, say something then. Like, what you gonna say then? It's like, there's a difference between daddy energy and that man control you.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I do think that they're very similar is all I'm saying. It's like, you know, somebody taking care of you fully, like doing everything for you, it's the same thing. It's infantilizing because it puts you in a place to where somebody makes all decisions for you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like even the little decision that you got to make is really still implied that you doing what I want you to do, is what I'm saying. Which is why like we got to be careful what we ask for when we talk, when we think about dating, because the traditional way is not the fairest way. But if you want the tradition, you got to come get everything else with tradition.
No, I think there's intersection there. I think I can have the requirement that you open my door, but not the requirement that you control the bank accounts. I can have the requirement that you take the trash out, but not the requirement that every time I come home, I'm cooking dinner. I think that there's intersection there. But even in the intersection, I think that we can have tradition and we can build our own traditions, but the roles that we play still have to center a place of respect and honor. If we have to break tradition because it doesn't center respect and honor, then that makes sense.
Right. I think that we should have the hybrids of a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then cultivate what it is. But when we talk about original tradition and like what's sort of been like mimicked today, what we want to have is the mix. But we move one way and it happens one way. So I think that that's just between two people. Again, we don't know exactly what goes in between their relationship, but we got to just know what it is that we want in our own relationships. Yeah.
You know, I was talking with a person the other day, and I was talking to them about traditions and how they even came about, and the reality of some of these hierarchical positions didn't even come into play. But in the 60s and the 50s or what have you, because I don't know, I feel like white people decided, oh, you need a mommy and a daddy, and these are the roles. But really, it was always village-based. It was always, actually, we're not even going to take care of our kids. Let's make this whole other black woman take care of our kids, like, and let another group of black women take and raise the kids. Like, the idea of tradition, it should and needs to be broken, because tradition, when you find it, is rooted in oppression in a lot of ways, in my opinion. But
did you see Dave Chappelle's special?
I didn't watch it, but I need to.
He's been talking that shit too. Like, yeah. People talking good shit. Just about how his voice is getting bigger and that he wants to come up with a code that lets everybody know that if he says it, then he's being compromised. And the code was, "I stand with Israel." What's your thoughts on that?
I think he's such a smart comedian. Most comedians to me are so intelligent when it comes to playing certain things out. Like,
yeah, he's good.
But I love that he's found a way to appease. It's like Kendrick Lamar in the Super Bowl performance. Mm-hmm. I appeased you in a way where you would put me on a larger platform, and now I can talk shit to you in front of your face, and you still don't know until like months later.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix right now today.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it too. I'm gonna watch it in a little bit.
And you know, Netflix just bought Warner Brothers. They're literally becoming a monopoly.
Yeah, that's, which is another thing that's I'm hearing that's not as good for the industry. Which is why it's important that we create our own things, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, but the highlights on Netflix definitely changed when the CEO turned to a black man. But I don't know, like, you don't ever want somebody to have all the control over all creative expression, but I do think that it opens up more opportunity in some ways, but it creates the same module for everyone. But what I did see recently, outside of Netflix, outside of Warner Brothers, is Avatar: Fire and Ash. Have you heard about it at all?
Yeah.
I think, first, I've always loved the Avatar series, but this particular one, I feel like it's into religion in a particular way that...
You seen it?
Yeah, I seen
it. Don't spoil it.
I'm not gonna spoil it, but I do think, like, how every piece has a commentary on pollution or colonization or what have you, like, this has a lot of religious rhetoric in a way that I really, really like.
These folks is really mad at Nicki Minaj, twin. Like, because now J.D. Vance done, like, took some comments and He says, Nicki Minaj said something at AmFest that was really profound. I'm paraphrasing, but she said, just because I want little black girls to think they're beautiful doesn't mean I need to put down little girls with blonde hair and blue eyes. We all got wrapped up over the last 2 years in zero sum thinking this is because of people who think they rule the world put us against one another. Nicki Minaj rejects that. We all should.
Hold on. Hold that thought for 2 seconds, brother. Can we pause?
Sure.
What is actually wrong with Shawty? Hold on. Okay, there we go. What is actually wrong with Shawty, bro? That makes me so mad. And I'm not saying that I disagree with the sentiment, but it's what everybody says. I don't necessarily have to tear nobody down. But when there's so many people who have been torn down and we need to elevate how they're being lifted up, that's what we need to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to be talking about. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she done, you know how it be. And I thought, at this point, I think she's worse than Candace Owens. And lately, I've been listening to what Candace Owens has been saying about the assassination. Just because I find the facts a little interesting, but I would say that the harm Nicki Minaj is doing right now is probably more profound than just because of her level, her status, you know, and the people that she had following her, because she got like a bunch of minions that attack anybody that speak against her.
Yeah, but I think that's about to change, brother. I don't even think her last, like, we can see it when the album drop in, what, March or May, whenever it's supposed to drop. I really want to see what the difference is between now and her support later. Because the reality is, I don't know if you win in these realms, but from the seat that I'm sitting in, you don't have the representation that you used to have from the major clothing brands. You're not able to do a feature with Beyonce. Again, you have no artist in the industry that would actually want to continue to support and create work with you. I just don't understand that. I think from this point forward, people are going to reference old Nicki Minaj. Like, who's your favorite artist? Old Nicki Minaj. Who's the best female? Who's the best female rapper? Old Nicki Minaj. Because you, even though you would love to do it, you can't really separate the art from the artist.
You can't. You never could.
You can't. What you stand for is what you represent and what you put your money towards. Are you really sitting here and telling me that what you want to put your money towards is the blonde hair, blue eyes, and the pedophiles?
Listen, she picked her side. But she also, when you marry somebody, that's, you marry whatever they are. And she married into that, so...
Nicki Minaj used to date Nas.
So what? far.
What? You could have created an empire, girl.
Yeah, but, I mean, I like ending it right here. I think this is enough to be like, all right. But, was there anything crazy that also happened? Or are we good?
I think
we're up here.
I think we can wrap here. Merry Christmas to the people.
Hell yeah.
I hope you all are staying warm and just appreciating the gifts that you do have.
Mm-hmm.
The ones you don't even know that blessed you this year. So think about those. Take some time. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Yay. All those things, y'all. We're going to continue to make episodes and work on other things and expand. It's okay. Hop on this one, right? Come on this one while we wrap up.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I heard it in, but it's all good though. But yeah, we're doing great things. Maybe you want to share any of your projects y'all going on?
Yeah, so I'm currently working on a show. Happy about that. You'll hear about casting for that soon. I'm also a producer for an awards ceremony that's coming. This is the 5th year of the awards ceremony for all black artists and actresses and directors in the Atlanta area. So excited about that. Y'all are going to hear more. So if you're an artist, I would definitely recommend staying tuned.
Please do. And I'm also working on the theater company, Wild Dreams Theater Entertainment Company. So be on the lookout. A lot of beautiful things coming in 2026. So it's the year of the horse. We're going to giddy on up. And we we sharing that love and light.
Period. Love y'all.
See you till next time.